Good to be here this morning, and certainly thank the Lord for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord and to be back at Union Church, a place that we love so very, very much. And I do ask for you to continue to pray that the Lord would be with us this morning. I do have a subject on my mind that's been very close to me over the last several weeks, and I've titled it The Breath of Life. And we're going to begin in the beginning. In Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and upon every creeping thing that is creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is fruitful and tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Creation was accomplished. Everything that has been created was created to now. And nothing has been created since then. And he's given us very detail on who gives life, even to the living creatures, to the living vegetation. God even gives life to that. But over in chapter number 2, we want to read verse number 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He breathed into him that breath of life. God is the giver of life. Amen. And we need to remember that all life is given by God. We drop down to verse number 19. And I know I'm reading more, but I want to cover this. And I want you to know that this that we're talking about this morning is from God's holy, inspired, preserved word. Verse number 19. "And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam." God has just now give Adam his name. His name's Adam. To see what he would call them. "And whatsoever Adam called every creature, that was the name thereof." Now, I've often just read that and just put myself, how did he do that? And I used to make it a whole lot more complicated than what it was. Now, I don't think he named everyone. I think he named every species of everyone. And we have species of bovine and canine and feline and equine and whatever others. And I think that as he seen that, I don't know if he said horse and cow and dog and that, but whatever way he did it, he passed by and he named them. He gave names to all cattle, all fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. For Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Well, let's back up and finish reading. We didn't finish reading verse 19. Brought them unto Adam to see what he'd called them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. You know, up until the time that he said, and back when at the end of 6 days, up until that time, every day it was good. It was good. It was good. At the end of the sixth day, he says it's very good. So we've had five goods and one very good. And now we have the very first time when God says something's not good. And he says, it's not good for man to be alone. And all of us men, I think we understand that. It's not good for man to be alone. So I'm going to give him a helpmeet. So he caused Adam to go to sleep, and he took the rib from his side, and he closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which was the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God created woman to walk beside the man. That's why he took a rib from his side. And he said, y'all walk side by side, and y'all be companions, and for this, and even in all of this, without going into a lot of detail, this is where God established and had the very first wedding ceremony. And he says to man, you leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife. And that's why the leaving and cleaving is very important for the man. And they were both naked and not ashamed. He created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Created he them. He created them to be fruitful and to multiply. And without getting into a lot of detail, and if you young folks, if you have any questions, ask your parents about it. But we see today, and now we see everything that's been created, and God is the creator, and God's given all life. Our lives are manifest this way by God's design. And this is being redesigned by man today in these things. And that's why that we need this foundational aspect to know God's design. Our lives are manifest this way from the Father to the child. That's important. And as I go along with this, I hope that God will give me grace to explain it. But God's design that life would be passed from the father to the child. And life is continued in conception through the male and is given flesh and body by the female and brought to life through birth. Because in the male seed, as the Bible calls it, that's the one that's active. The woman seed is not. It's passive. The man seed is what attaches to the woman seed, and there where life begins. Don't let nobody tell you that conception is not the beginning of life. When that live male seed attaches to the woman, life begins through the man to the child. Childbearing, and this probably, I know you've heard it all different ways. Childbearing's not a miracle. Childbearing's the way God designed it. He says, I'm putting you two to be fruitful and multiply. And it's not a miracle when a man and woman comes together and life begins. Because God is that giver of life. And he's designed it that way. And after the fall, we're all under sin now. And God said this to the woman and then to the man. Because we're under sin. And if we had time and to go in the detail of how that life is passed from the man to the woman after the fall, to get a redeemer, the man Christ Jesus, it had to be passed from God to the woman because that's where life is. And here is the seed of God, which is the giver of life, that gave life to the woman, now with no sin. We're all sinners today because of our fathers. Sin's passed from the father to the child, just like life is passed from father to the child. And that's why that Jesus had to be born of a virgin. And God had to be the creator and the implantation of that life within Mary. We're all under sin. Let's go to chapter number 3. Verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And they shall desire, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the fruit of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And Adam Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to the ground, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now all of you women here that's had children, every childbirth is painful. And it can be dangerous. I'm thankful today it's not nearly as dangerous as it has, but it's still dangerous. And it can be deadly. It can be deadly to the children, and it can be deadly to the mother. And we have this when God said to woman, you're going to bring forth children in sorrow. And it's always going to be painful. Can be dangerous and can be deadly to both. But today we see the rejection of male dominance in our society. But God said to Adam, you're responsible for your wife and family. That's why we fell under sin, because Adam did not take responsibility. I know this is not popular today. And as we go on in time, we're being indoctrinated against this. That's why it's in the beginning. We see a rejection of male dominance in both procreation and asserts female dominance to control human reproduction. And that's not the way God designed it. All the radical doctrines today serve to reduce the overall number of male babies, despite the fact that almost half of the abortions kill female babies. You think, well, where'd you get that? Well, killing male babies is nothing new. And we can go into Exodus and see that Pharaoh killed male babies to keep reproduction down. Because he said, if I can kill off the male babies, and let's read it. Don't take my word for it. Let's read it. And that's why that when y'all had that reading today, and Brother Marty said, You heard the word of God. And that's one thing that Elder Harder told me when I first started exercising and speaking. He says, you may say a lot of good things, but the only time that you're really going to be saying the truth is when you're reading the scripture. So let's read the scripture. Exodus 1 and 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Well, is that not what God put his people here to do? And multiplied. Isn't that what we just read in Genesis chapter number 1? Do you be fruitful and multiply? And they were. And God was blessing his design. And waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was full with them. Now there rose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on. See, that phrase is not new, you know. Come on. Let's deal wisely with them. Well, this is not too wise. Lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto the enemies and fight against us, and so get them up and out of the land. Pharaoh was afraid of a takeover. And he says, I have the power and the ability to stop it, he thought. Therefore, they did set them over taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Python and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake unto the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shripta, and the name of the other was Pura. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then thou shalt kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God. When we take a stand today for the unspoken, we need to be like these midwives. Why? Because God was on their side. We can speak for the unspoken. The midwives feared God. And see, we live in a nation today that doesn't fear God. And we live in whichever way you want to look at fear. We live in a nation that's not afraid of God. But we do live in a nation that doesn't fear God, doesn't reverence God, doesn't show honor to God, doesn't give God the glory where glory is due. And these midwives did. They honored their God. And did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. We don't even have to be there for these children to be born. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives. And the people multiplied and waxed very strong. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Why? Because Pharaoh knew without men the reproduction would be down. We'll take care of the men, folks. We'll decrease all of that. And then there won't be an uprising against us. And even in today, in the general population, especially since abortions has been legalized, we've seen a reduction in reproduction. Because this that happened there is even happening today. But with the philosophy that's going on, they don't care whether they kill half female anyway. Doesn't matter to them. But without male, reproduction is impossible. Now I want to go what the scripture says about babies. We all love babies around here. I've known most of y'all all my life. I know we love babies around Union Church. See some today. Can't wait till some get here. Look forward to more grandbabies coming. Why? We love babies. I love those babies in Amanda's womb right now. Never laid eyes on them. But I love them. Why? Because they're babies. They're humans. A baby in the womb is not a potential human, but a human with potential. And we need to hold on to that. There's no distinction in the scriptures between babies in the womb and those that are already born. The Greek word for babe, and we'll be going to the New Testament now. Y'all know where I'm going. We're going to go to Luke, chapter number 1. There's no distinction in the scripture between the baby in the womb and the baby that's just been born. The Greek word for babe in Luke chapter number 1, and I'm probably not pronouncing it right, so I'm just going to spell it and then pronounce at it. But it's B-R-E-P-H-O-S. That's the Greek word. Now, I don't know Greek, but I can look up Greek. And that's the Greek word. Briphos is used to describe the baby, the babe leaping in Elizabeth's womb at the salutation of Mary. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 39. Mary rose in those days and went unto the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, it's not uncommon for babies to kick and move in their mother's womb. And Amanda, she's telling us stories, them two in her womb fighting over positions. I mean, they fighting over room. So it wasn't unusual for John to be moving in his mother's womb. But at the salutation of Mary, this babe leaped, and then it said he leaped for joy. That's a salutation of his Savior. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out. I think she did more than speak out. I think she probably shouted a little bit. Because she said she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." What did God design reproduction for? To be fruitful and to multiply. And whence is this to be that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." What does magnification mean? God is big as he's going to be. God don't get no bigger. But Mary says, "I'm going to make him look bigger." Now, all of us, I'm not going to say old, but up in years, I've got a magnifying glass in my eye right now. I got contacts in, but this one over on this side is my reader. And I'm glad I got it. But you know what? I can read this little bitty print on my Bible right here. But does this magnification make the print change size? It makes it look bigger to me, doesn't it? And Paul says, whether I'm living or dying, I'm going to magnify the Lord. Why? He's going to make him look bigger. See, we ought to be magnifying the Lord in our lives. We need to make him look bigger in our lives. And we can do that for standing for the unborn children, because they can't speak for themselves. Briefos is used interchangeably by prenatal and postnatal babies. Now I want to give you the proof of Scripture. Let's go to Luke 18:15. And they brought unto him also infants. That's the same word, briefos, that's used for babe that we read. That he would touch them, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. An unborn child, an embryo, a fetus, a newborn baby, they are all humans. And God gave them life. We need to think about where life begins. Now, we already said it begins in conception. But let's think about life in general. Plant life. I know some, y'all not called master gardeners, but one of the most master gardener besides my daddy, Brother Ralph Danger. And ain't no telling how many seeds my daddy and Brother Ralph planted over the 1,800 years that they've been around. And I've planted a few myself. I was out mowing my grass yesterday thinking, man, I can't wait to get out here and till me up a spot. I don't know when it's going to get dry enough to do it, but I'm ready when it does. But every seed that Brother Ralph's planted, my daddy's planted, and everybody else planted goes into the ground, and even we got Bible for that, where the Jesus says that the grain of corn go into the ground, except it dieth, it bring forth life. Where did that life start? It started in darkness. Life begins in darkness. Our babies' lives begin in darkness. The seed life begins in darkness. Now, when that little corn sprout comes up out of the ground, did it come up out of the ground to get life? No, it already had life there, and it came out of the ground. And when conception comes, life begins, and it begins in darkness. For about 9 months, now they got it 40 weeks, and you know, all the details of it that goes on, but it's in darkness. And I've often, you know, I've seen all four of my children born, I've seen others being born, and you know, it's amazing that in the labor and delivery room, I mean, they got lights like a studio. And just think, if them little babies could just think, God, I've left this dark place and look at all this. It's hard enough for me to see, and now I got to look at all this light. Made me think, well, why don't you turn the lights down low and help these little fellas out a little bit more? Because we know what it's like to be in a dead sleep and somebody turn the light on and, you know, out, get acclimated to it. And the happiest thing that I've ever heard, when my four children was born, was to hear them cry. That was a happy day in my life. Well, why was it so happy? That told me that baby was alive. Now, I'd been feeling it for about ever how many months back. I'll tell you exact places where I felt Amanda kick up against me when Deborah was up against me. I'll never forget it. I hope I won't never forget it. She had already been feeling it, and then I felt it. But when those babies were delivered and they came out and started crying, we were so happy. Why? Because the life that was in darkness now was manifest. That briefos, that baby, is still a baby. It's still a human. And we need to remember that. And we need to tell folks what the Bible says about it. Magnify God. Because Jesus was conceived not just like us, but like us. Because we were conceived in sin, and Jesus was conceived without sin. But that life passed from God the Father to Mary the Mother, and then his life was delivered. He walked on this sin-cursed earth for 33 years or so. Was faithful to his Father. And see, we even have to use language like that. Jesus was sinless, and Jesus couldn't sin. Why? Because he was God. He was manifest in the flesh, but he was God. And when he took on the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he hung on that cross for every sin of every heir of promise. For unborn children, for born children. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but I like getting glimpses of it. But I know heaven's going to be real. And if I can feel like I feel right now, I believe I'm going to be there. Sometimes during the week, I don't feel that way. But right now, I do. But I believe that we can read in the Bible that when we breathe out our last breath here, we'll be immediately carried into the presence of God. If I didn't believe that, I'd be one unhappy person. But he says, sorrow not as the ones that have no hope. But I have hope that when we breathe out our last breath, and then when life is taken from an unborn child, they immediately go into the presence in a vital way. This Bible doesn't teach soul sleeping. Because God told that thief that denied him, he says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I believe the scripture. When our loved ones go, I believe that. When a child dies in its mother's womb, I believe that. Job believed it. And he had a better understanding than all of us. And he even penned it down. He says, I'll see my Redeemer with my own eyes. And I'm looking forward to that day. We was talking about how many folks we've seen pass on, die, deceased, whatever it's hard to say a good, but Bible calls it death, and that's what it is. I don't mind death, but I'm afraid of dying. Because I'm really afraid that how I might get to death. But I'm not afraid of death. And the older I get, the more excited I am about being there. Now, I ain't ready to go right yet. But I'm ready to go. Please remember that God is the breath of life. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.